Hello, and welcome to Mother Daughter Earthcast, a show that will help you navigate the eco world and live a more colorful and conscious life. We'll inform, inspire, and embolden you.
And most importantly, we'll have fun along the way to a more planet-caring lifestyle together. Welcome to another Mother Daughter Earthcast. I'm Jenna Woods, otherwise known as Mother.
And this is Mariana Archibald. And today we're going to be doing a little solo cast, a little mom and me conversation. Because she's been, well, to be honest, we had this conversation like 2 months ago. And I lost it. Sorry. Oops. And I looked for it and I searched and searched and it is indeed gone. So, and it was such a good chat. It was like flowing and all these ideas were coming and I don't even remember what I said, but I know it was good. So my hope is that, you know what? It could have been better. So this is our option to make it better.
Exactly. And it's just so interesting. We're going to be talking about patience.
That's true. And this is all coming together. And mom also loves for me to have opportunities when I can't be perfect.
So. No, I don't love it. It's just...
She secretly loves it.
No, I don't. But I just always encourage you and say, it's okay. We can redo it, right?
It's true. And I was like, oh, so angry. And my mom's like, it's fine. It's fine. I was like, fine. Okay. We can record it again.
Patience, honey.
Patience, which is our theme for today.
We all get to learn about patience.
That's it. Well, I'll give you all the background of when we first recorded it because it still is applicable. But mom had been bugging me for a while. And, you know, this is when I know that she really wants to do something because she'll be like, hey, can we do this? And then like a week later, she's like, hey, Mariana, let's do this. Come on, come on. And so this had been like a 3 week thing where she really wanted to talk about how through her garden and especially gardening during COVID, she learned about patience a lot. So that's what we're going to do today. So I'll let mom start us off. We might need to redirect her a little bit because she does wander sometimes in her thoughts.
Who, me?
Which is part of her charm. So mom, kick us off and tell us a bit about what you were thinking about in regards to your garden, what it taught you, and all of the things around patience.
Yes. And it's just, I feel as though the past 15, 18 months, it's just been one lesson in patience after another. First, with COVID, I think everyone got a big dose of patience during COVID. And I know that since I couldn't go and visit my friends and have a social life after work, I would come home every day and I would garden. And
I'm going to interject here for 1 second. Y'all should see how my mom's eyes have started to sparkle in the last month or so since she's been vaccinated because she can surround herself by all of her friends again. I don't think the isolating hit anyone quite as much in our circle as it did mom. So keep going. Little tidbit for everyone listening.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be around people again. Oh my gosh, it feels so good. I loved gardening and I loved watching my birds, but I need people.
Yeah, she really does. But keep going, mom. During COVID, you had gardening and it was super, you know, fed your soul.
Yes, it really did. And of course, with gardening, it's just one lesson in patience after another because you plant things and then you have to wait a year or two or sometimes three. Or if you plant a tree, it's even longer. But you have to wait until your plants mature and, you know, come into their own. And
especially with our freeze.
Oh, well,
that's what we, I know that's what triggered it for you was our massive freeze in February, and all we could do was sit and wait because it didn't matter what we did. It didn't matter how much love you gave the plants. We just kind of had to sit back and wait and see what happened.
Yeah, and that was brutal. My poor customers got so sick and tired of me saying, just be patient. Just be patient. I mean, I would just go from one person's house to another, all day long for weeks on end doing plant therapy and just saying, be patient. And when it first happened, I said, you know, let's wait until the middle of April and see what the plants are doing. And then it was the middle of April. And I said, let's wait till the beginning of May. And we also had a very cool spring here in Dallas. So the plants, the soil was just not warming up and the plants were not doing much of anything. And then the beginning of May, we started seeing a little bit, but really it was the middle to end of May before some of the plants came back. And it was a huge test of patience for a lot of people because we live in such an instant gratification society now, and we want things now.
Yes. And the bit that I'll add to that, which I'm in that camp of people that A, loves instant gratification, and B, needed to exercise patience, especially after the freeze. But I think the added layer for me was the lack of control over the situation. There was literally nothing I could do to help these plants. I mean, it wasn't like I could water or I could fertilize and have patience or I could do this. And no, there was like, you can't do anything. So sorry. So I would say that's the added bit. And I also, before we keep diving deeper into this and other things, I wanted to kind of set some of the context for our listeners too, which is mom will often, you know, have ideas for the podcast or want to talk about something. And I always, my response to her is always, great, but what's the point? Like, what's the message? What's the takeaway? Because I feel as though that's really what's important. And for me, and please add your little bit, mom, but for me, the takeaway from this conversation, which we'll continue going deeper into, is that you can learn so many things from nature that you can apply to your life. Nature is just a different way that you can integrate lessons, just like your life experiences are ways that you can integrate lessons. So I wanted to have that context as well. It's not just, you know, watch a plant grow, be a little frustrated at times, oh yay. It's connecting with your garden, with nature, with your plants. And the beauty of connecting is then recognizing the lessons and being able to integrate them into your own life.
Most definitely. Yes.
It's like when tough crap happens in your life, like, yeah, that sucks, but it's, in my opinion, sometimes pointless unless you take the time to actually think about what was the lesson in it for you, you know?
Yes.
Gardening is just another way to be able to do that, but through nature. And I think that's a foreign concept to a lot of people.
Yeah. And how nature can repair itself too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that takes patience. It takes time.
Which, again, apply it to your own life. You know, it took our gardens a lot longer than we might have expected to repair it themselves. But heck, my garden is more beautiful than it ever has been before. And it is now stronger because it went through that deep freeze and came out on the other side, vibrant and alive, right? That's, I think, so many parallelisms that you can apply. I mean, on its surface, it's cool. But again, let's try to dig a little bit deeper into what we're observing in nature and apply it. And I think what's so cool about when you start drawing those connections, we can say the same thing about COVID for us, right? And many other situations. You know, we're on the other side of that, and hopefully we are stronger and more resilient and know how to handle some situations better because of the tough experience that we went through during COVID.
It's interesting that you're talking about the resilience and going through tough times and how your garden is so much stronger after going through that tough time. I just finished reading a fabulous, fabulous book. It's called Between Two Kingdoms, and I'm probably not going to say her name right, but it's Suleika and I don't know how to say her last name.
Mom, just try.
J-A-Q-U-A-D. But
Let me see if I can. Whoops. Suleika Jawad. That's my attempt.
Good.
Jawad.
Anyway, she is a cancer survivor. And at... it's such a fabulous book. This is not a spoiler.
Well, you don't spoil it.
Well, I have to.
No,
have
you
to. Okay. Anyway.
Come on, just don't spoil it, because I'm going to read it too.
I know, but I'm not going to spoil it. But at the very end of the book.
Oh my gosh.
At the very end of the book, someone asked her, if you could have taken away this illness, and she battled cancer 3-4 years. It was a long battle, and it was cruel what happened to her body during her battle with cancer. But she said, no, she would not have wanted to take away that experience. It made her stronger. Mm-hmm. And I know that I have had some very challenging times in my life. I don't regret any of them. They have taught me patience. They have taught me how to be strong and resilient.
Yeah.
And resilience is something that's so important. And I know that I worry about the resilience of our society. Look at what happened to Texas during the freeze, and how, mm-hmm. I mean, I know over 100 people died because we didn't have electricity. There was no resilience there.
Mm-hmm. I know. Well, is there anything else that you want to share about patience before I have a little story to share about my recent little experience in my garden and the what I took from it, which I think would be fun.
Well, there's one little thing I want to say. We're each sitting with a gardenia next to us. Both of my children love gardenias.
It's my favorite flower, in case anyone wants to surprise me at some point. Hint, hint, Toby. I'm just kidding. Toby knows it's my favorite.
And I believe Montana, it's one of his favorites too. But I bought a gardenia bush for my children about 2 years ago.
She did.
And it is in full bloom now. It's huge. It's glorious. And after 2 years of patience, you have your gardenias.
I know. And my gardenia just put out its first flower after a couple of years, just a few weeks ago, too. It's not as big as yours, and because it went through some, we had some growing pains.
You or the gardenia?
But both our relationship, aka the gardenia. But it finally put out one flower, and it was great. Aww. It was amazing.
See, with patience, you'll know that there'll be more.
I know. It did teach me patience. There is always room for me to learn about patience. It is not my strong suit.
So tell me about your story, Mariana.
Yes. Okay. So this is this kind of is a little bit more metaphorical, if you will, but I think it's a fun example of how I have started looking a little bit deeper into what nature can teach you, because some people may think it's like, oh, you're just kind of connecting your own dots here, which is fine, but I still feel as though it's still a message for me. So why not, if it's helpful? But the other day, I believe if y'all follow us on Instagram, then you would have seen about my little bird experiences, how we had a nest that fell and it was super sad, but we brought the little birds in overnight and took them to the wildlife rescue place. And so that turned out okay. But then a few days later, we saw a blue jay fledgling just sitting in our blackberry bush. We named him Little Blue. I know, he was so cute. And he just kind of appeared throughout our yard over the next few days, because apparently blue jays learn to fly from the ground. So that's what we learned.
How did he get from the nest to the ground?
I think they kind of flutter their way down, because their wings are big enough that it kind of carries them. But
so he didn't plop down.
No, he didn't fall. He was meant to be the ground.
Okay.
He was very mobile.
Okay.
And his parents were looking out for him. Like, they were around. And so when he started doing this little thing, his calling thing, his parents would come and feed him. Anyways, I digress. So one day he made his way to our side yard, to, like, you know, on the other side of the fence. And you could tell that the mission for the day for Little Blue was to make it to the top of the fence. But of course, there the horizontal boards that go across our fence were spaced out just too far enough for him to be able to fly from one level to the next to then make it to the top of the fence. I literally sat there for like 2 hours and watched him and worked outside. And I saw like all these different methods he was trying. Like first he tried going up our zucchini plant and that wasn't strong enough. And then he tried climbing up our sunflower and he broke all of the leaves and that wasn't strong enough. And then he tried something else. And then he went on our compost bin. And then the whole time I was thinking like, wow, it's like sometimes how I feel with my career and my dreams, you know, it's just, you just try and you don't quite make it to that next rung, or you make it to the next rung and then you happen to fall off because you're trying to get to the following rung. But Little Blue just kept going and going and going and going, and he took his little rests. And then by the end of the day, I walked outside and guess who was sitting on the top of the fence?
Aww.
Little Blue. And I was like, thank you, Little Blue. Now I feel like I can make it too. But, and a part of me was like, oh man, should I help him? Should I like make fake steps so that he can just bounce up? But then I was like, no, because he needs those experiences to be able to build the muscles that in his wings and build all of the thing, you know, all the little tools in his arsenal that he would need to actually be successful later on when he does make it to the top of the fence. Because the top of the fence actually isn't the final destination. It's just today's goal, and Little Blue's going to go soar off into so many other fun places. So that's how even something as simple as watching a little bird for me now has taken on an additional meaning. This is amazing to watch. Nature is so magical and awesome, but it also can teach you things. It doesn't just have to be like, oh, look how cute, look how awesome that little bird is. Like, what about that bird's experience is speaking to me? And that's what it was. And I just thought that that was super cool.
Oh, I love that story.
Yeah, it was like nature was like cheering me on.
Oh, it kind of reminds me when you were little.
Why?
Like learning to walk and learning to swim.
There
and
you go.
Learning to kick a soccer ball. And
so, yeah, that was just kind of my little tidbit. That it's just, you know, and again, I know some people might think that's going, you know, I'm stretching a little bit for the meaning, but I don't think so. I think really part of what nature is here for is to communicate with us in ways like this and for us to take meaning from it.
Yeah. And take the time.
I mean, yes. Before COVID, ain't no way I would have just sat, and I was doing other things, but I would not have ever just plopped myself outside with my computer to watch a bird for 2 hours. And then every time I would hear him do his little caw, or I would hear that he was much prettier than that, or I would hear like his parents calling, I would run back outside to see what was going on. At one point, his parents actually like chased a hawk away from our yard, and they brought all the other blue jays to help chase away the hawk. Like, it was so cool. It was so cool. So yes, the time is definitely a big part of what I've learned during COVID and from, you know, just spending time in my garden.
Wow, that's a good story.
Yeah.
And so do you have a lot more patience than you did before COVID started, Mariana? That was a deep sigh.
Do we want the truth, or yes, do we want what I hope the truth is?
How about both?
The truth is that I'm at least trying more. I'm more aware of times where I feel myself really having no patience. I think before, and I haven't thought about this too much, so we're just going to work through it. But before, it wasn't even like I would go straight to impatience without even like recognizing it. And then I would just turn into balls of frustration that then just like snowballed into anger, maybe, I don't know. No, I'm not saying that I don't get impatient, because I do, and I'm sure this is something that I will forever struggle with, but I'm at least aware of it, more aware of it now.
And you're
and I try to, you know, calm myself down and just, you know, let go of the reins a little bit. But for me, impatience is also closely linked with control, so.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those are real intertwined. So I don't know that it's ever going to be something I don't struggle with, but COVID has definitely made me more aware, and I'm starting to try to implement different things to kind of not let myself fall into the impatient trap.
And also your time in Australia taught you a lot of patience, didn't it?
That's true. I tell people, listeners who don't know, I lived in Australia, Sydney, Australia, with Toby, my now husband, for a year. And I tell people that if you can move abroad as an adult, you should. It taught me a lot. So basically, if you have one takeaway from this episode, is you should if you need to learn patience, garden and move abroad. Because it'll at least give you lots of opportunities to try to work on it.
It's probably why I'm so patient. I'm new to Mexico, and I gardened for a living.
Literally.
Yeah.
Actually, good point. See, mom's connecting the dots all by herself now. She, and you moved to a country. Not only was it abroad, but you didn't speak the language.
That was true.
And you lived on a ranch with no electricity and no phone.
That is true.
Sucker and for punishment.
I lived with my in-laws.
Yikes. So don't do that. Why don't you come more to the middle ground where I am? So you can move to a country that's abroad, but you speak the language and you live only with your significant other, and you can garden just for fun. That's a much easier way to learn patience.
Sounds a lot more sane.
But at least mom's a pretty master at patience now.
Oh, I am.
Yeah, she really is. She really is. Well, there you go. Something else that I think gardening teaches you is abundance.
Oh, yes.
And I don't just mean like being rich. I think when people say abundant, you just like think of money. But I mean like abundance in all aspects of life. And also in a way that, this is how I view it right now, is that nature is wired for abundance. I mean, no way in nature do you see, you know, that it's not wired to flourish and flourish in ways that are just amazing. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel like, that's what I feel about life too. It's lots of times we're like, oh, I can enjoy this, but only so much, or I can do this, but only so much. And I think also coming from a sustainability world, and this might ruffle some feathers, and that's okay. This is my personal belief. But coming from a sustainability world where so many people talk about, you know, you can't do this and feel guilty about that and yada yada, there's almost so much guilt. I just personally try to reframe that to view sustainability as a mindful way of living, but not a way of living that means you can't live abundantly. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't see living abundantly and living sustainably as mutually exclusive. I think it's been a shift, especially as in the last few years since we've been more purposeful in our sustainability journey. To me, that has been the shift. It's mindful living while also living life to its fullest and enjoying it to its fullest.
And you mean abundantly by experiences and your joy in life rather than abundant with a bunch of clothes or something like that?
I mean it in all the senses, to be honest. But it does come back to what brings you most joy. Clothing is a really good question and a good topic, I think, that we can, you know, explore this abundant versus sustainable conversation. And maybe we can even do a separate, separate podcast about it. But for just to touch on it, clothing, for example, I personally don't shop very much. It's not something that, like, I would rather spend $100 on plants than go and buy more clothing. So
that's my daughter.
I know. Man, 15-year-old me would have been like, what? You crazy.
Give me those high heel shoes.
But I also don't, if buying clothes makes you happy, I'm not here to judge that. I think you can be mindful about how you buy your clothes.
What type of clothes?
What type? Exactly. Like, try to buy used. Try to buy clothes that last a long time. Try to buy clothes that are sustainably sourced. You know, that's what I mean. But I don't feel as though falling under this banner of sustainable living, I'm not here to make you feel guilty if buying lots of clothes is what truly makes you and your life feel abundant. You can just do it in ways that are more mindful. This is my personal approach. Again, I know that might ruffle some feathers, but that's just how I feel. But yeah, and again, gardening, I think, is one of those ways that nature has kind of given me that viewpoint. Is nature is abundant. Mm-hmm. Everything about it, it's just abundant. Is there one grain of sand on the beach? No. Like, you know, and just the more you learn about nature and its cycles, the more I've been able to see how abundant it is and how, you know, nature is wired for awesomeness in all aspects.
If we just let nature do what it needs to do.
And exactly. And then bringing that connection to your life, just let everyone do what makes them happy in a mindful way, of course, you know? I don't know. Those are my thoughts on it. I'll refine that a little bit more. Maybe we can have like abundance versus sustainability episode. If that piques your interest, let us know. Send us a little message on Instagram or something. Because, it's something that... I know other people in the sustainability world disagree with, but that's how I view things right now.
Yeah.
At this point in time.
And I'm looking out my office window and seeing an abundance of beautiful plants that got loved on a lot last year. And I'm also looking at an abundance of birds coming to my bird feeders. And it's just warms my heart.
It does. It is awesome. So anyway, Mom, is there anything else you'd like to touch on, or do you feel like we kind of covered your topic?
I think we covered patience.
Awesome. Yeah. Went even deeper.
Yeah.
Way to go us.
I hope everyone is embracing their opportunities to learn patience. Because it's just gotten to be so many layers of patience between COVID, and not everyone experienced the freeze, but I now know there's so many shortages now of so many items, at least in the where the freeze happened, there's a shortage of plants. Someone was telling me that they were sending their children to camp, and there's a shortage of bug spray, and there's a shortage of suntan lotion, and there's a shortage of cars, and oh my gosh, there's shortages of so many items. So that just seems like the opportunities to learn patience just keep on coming.
Well, that's a really good point. I think especially now as we transition out of COVID, out of a COVID world, well, there's going to be COVID now all the time, but you know what I mean? Out of a lockdown world to reopening, there's going to be a lot of friction in that.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't really know what's going to happen with all situations or how to manage things. And different people have different viewpoints and all of the above. And I think now more than any time is when we need to start applying those lessons that we learned during COVID, one of which is patience.
Yes.
And just be patient with other people, with situations that are out of our control, and especially as we kind of find what our new normal looks like.
Yes, most definitely.
Man, way to go us. Applying nature's lessons to our lives. I love it.
You having fun, Mariana?
I do have fun talking about nature and what it teaches me. So yeah. Anyways, we'll wrap it up here because Mom and I can ramble forever, and we will off air. But in the meantime, if y'all like our episodes, please give us a rating and review on iTunes. That really helps us out. And head over to patreon.com/motherdaughterearth if you want to join us in our community over there and have bonus episodes and courses and all of the things. And as always, we are on Instagram, where we are posting regularly, and you can keep up to date with what's going on, like my birds. And yeah, we really appreciate y'all joining us for another episode of Mother Daughter Earthcast. And let us know if you have any comments or questions from today's solo cast. We'd love to hear your thoughts, even if you disagree. Love to hear them.
Sounds good. And y'all have a great day, and thank you for joining us.
That's it. See you next time.